In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And once again, the reason for this podcast is to shine the light on organizations and individuals who are unselfishly helping other people in our society and along the way, creating more harmony. And today we are delighted to have Aaron Pulling with us. And Aaron is the current CEO and president of the Food Bank of the Rockies. And she started out 24 years with Project Angel Heart, 14 of those years as the CEO. And now after 4 years with the Food Bank of the Rockies, she is the CEO and president. And one of the things that little birdie told me about Aaron is that Aaron doesn't like to boast about awards and that sort of thing, but I'm going to do it for her. And that is one of the things is she was chosen as the Food Bank CEO of the Year last year. And that's something to be quite amazingly proud of because there's a lot of people out there doing good in the world. And the Denver Business Journal also chose her as one of the most admired CEOs on their list and was named a Titan. So we are absolutely delighted that you could make time to be with us today, Aaron, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Very good. Well, I've got some questions here I'd like to ask you. And one of them is, how did the Food Bank of the Rockies get started? A little bit of maybe history so that our audience can know a little bit more about what that actually is.
Food Bank of the Rockies has a really similar story of origin as all food banks across the country. There's actually 200 Feeding America food banks. And we were started in 1978 by a woman named Kathy who was at her local grocery store and noticed all this bread that was going into the trash. Kathy volunteered at the food pantry down the street from her. It's like, why is this bread going in the trash? I'd like to distribute it. It should be given to people experiencing hunger. And so she loaded it into her car and took it to the food pantry. And therein lies the model, the basic model of food banking at its core, of getting food from retailers, from manufacturers. Eventually, that grew to also include the USDA, our government commodity food, and also purchasing food to supplement and getting that out to what we call hunger relief partners. So at Food Bank of the Rockies, we are distributing food to more than 800 hunger relief partners. These are food pantries and other food distribution organizations throughout about half of Colorado and all of Wyoming. And then we also distribute food directly to people experiencing food insecurity through more than 70 mobile pantries every month in Colorado and Wyoming, and special programs for older adults and kids.
Wow. So when you say that number 800, right away I'm thinking 800 people. It would be an amazing thing, but you're talking about distributing to 800 distribution organizations, people that are getting the food out there to the people who need it.
And some of these are large food pantries, and some are very small in a community of faith that might have, or a school that might have a little closet or a drawer for people who come in who are facing hunger. And then some are very large, serving thousands of people.
That is fabulous, because I cannot comprehend. I mean, we've all hit hard times at one time or another, but I cannot comprehend going to bed hungry. And I don't know that I've ever missed a meal. And just the thought that people are hungry out there, that's amazing. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
You know, Tom, one of the things it's hard to imagine that, and you know that we can't achieve, our kids can't achieve in school if they're going to bed hungry and going to school hungry. Mm-hmm. It's harder to maintain employment. It's harder to do well in your job. It's also much harder to have positive health outcomes. We often hear from people that they're doing things like watering down juices, often turning to very inexpensive foods for their kids, for themselves, so that they can stretch the dollar. And so then in turn, as you can imagine, they're having healthcare outcomes that aren't positive because a less expensive diet is not as nutritious. And right. So often hearing from people, well, I can either put food on the table for my family, or I can pay for my car repair, or otherwise we don't have a vehicle. Or I can, you know, pay my rent next month. And we've seen that even more, which I know we'll get into in this last year with food inflation and really going back a few years to the onset of COVID.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. That's an interesting topic, is COVID. How in the world were you able to continue on with that leering over your head? You still need to be able to distribute food. You need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to be around people in order to provide that nutrition for people. How did you handle that?
It was terrifying and such a time of need. So in, you know, that mid-March date where the whole country shut down. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, we're saying, we have a couple hundred employees and more than 100 volunteers every single day. How in the world do we operate with a frontline workforce that's fearing for their safety? Mm-hmm. And that day when the country shut down, all of our volunteers pretty much called out. They're all part of corporate groups. And now, you know, XYZ Corporation isn't going to send 25, 50 of their employees in to volunteer the next day. And at that same time, we were getting calls from our hunger relief partners and from people like, I just lost my job. And we are getting calls about people facing food insecurity more than they ever have, because people are afraid and they know right now that they've lost their income. We had someone stop by on one of the very second day after the country shut down and came into the front desk and made a donation of $25 in cash. And he said, I'm coming directly from losing my job. And here's why I'm making this gift, because right now, today, I'm not going to be needing Food Bank of the Rockies, but I might in the future. And I'm hoping in this crisis, I don't know what this is going to turn into, that you are there for me and people like me when we need it. So we had to change virtually everything about our operations, implement social distancing, recruit a whole new volunteer force. It was no longer corporate groups. And it's now teachers and restaurant workers who are out of work. We had all of the employees from Boys and Girls Club, but the Boys and Girls Club wanted to keep their staff paid, but they weren't working. Their kids were coming to the center. So they sent them to Food Bank of the Rockies in those first weeks. And we engaged them in packaging food. And we saw needs go through the roof. And we didn't know, we knew that this is also going to be expensive. And we decided on that very first day that we're going to do what needs to be done, regardless of how much it costs. And we're going to do so with the belief that donors will step up alongside us. And it was terrifying. Our chief financial officer was 3 months on the job and said, please, can we wait? Can we wait to see if people are increasing their donations before we go placing $100,000 above budget food order? Mm. And we said, we don't have time to wait. We're going to do this and we're going to do what's right. And on a wing and a prayer that the community will step up alongside us. And they did. People really did step up as volunteers and as donors when we saw that need go through the roof.
See, this is what I call heroes. You know, we think about heroes as people that maybe save somebody's life or whatever. These are saving lives in a very, very different way, and not in the headlines of the news. These are stories that didn't even make the back page of a news. And these are definite heroes that we all need to be very proud to be around in our neighborhoods and our communities. Wow.
It sure are. I mean, you remember those first months of COVID with the fear in everyone's eyes, right? Going to the grocery store. I mean, everywhere we went, just people fearful. We'd walk through our distribution center and see our staff, and our volunteers with nothing but joy and joyful and with gratitude that they're here to help. And this is pre-vaccines, when people knew that they were putting their health on the line to come here and make a difference. And we operated every single day during COVID. And now, of course, you know, COVID has had a longer tail than any of us would have expected.
We
have ongoing needs to for staff to mask after they've had an exposure, for quarantine periods. And we've, one of our volunteers who started with us during COVID, she's a retiree and had a stint in the Peace Corps that was cut short. So she started riding her bike here to volunteer 5 days a week. Now, almost 3.5 years later, she's still here 5 days a week.
Wow. See, that's one of the things I'd love for our listeners who are sitting home wondering, what can I do? What can one person do? And one person can make a major change in a lot of lives. Not just one. That's wonderful. I have an interesting thing here, but you talk about, you know, the accessing of food. Where does the major bulk of your food come from? Is it primarily from the grocery stores, or is there other resources that you go to?
Yeah, over half of our food comes through what we call food rescue. That's from retailers, grocery stores, King Soopers, Costco. Mm-hmm. It's food that is close dated, or their supplies are too high, or a packaging container got damaged, but it's still usable, that they donate to us. And a big portion of that is also from manufacturers. Often a manufacturer upgrades their marketing, or has food in supplies that are too high, or something went awry with the shipment, or is close dated, they've discontinued a certain product. So we receive that food. That's more than half of what we distribute.
Wow.
We also receive food from the USDA, which is government commodity food. And in the first year of COVID, that grew to be 50% of our total food supply. This is fresh produce, dairy, meat, that has now dwindled to just over 10% of our food supply. And so we're closing that gap with purchased food. Purchased food historically for Food Bank of the Rockies and all food banks around the country, it's been a very small portion of what we do. At Food Bank of the Rockies, purchased food has now grown to more than 30% of our food supply. And for a couple reasons. One is because food from retailers and manufacturers has decreased slightly. It's now just inched back up, but it certainly hasn't kept pace with increased need. USDA food has gone down, and we care more than we ever have about the quality of food that we're distributing, especially fresh produce. And we care about culturally responsive food. Items like corn husks and masa flour to make tamales, chilies, tortillas. We have ingredient lists for seven different cultures that we're customizing for the client base that we are serving.
How in the world do you do that? Because when you stop and think about all the different needs that people have, I mean, a few years ago, you never heard anybody talk about gluten or, you know, like, you know, all these different little idiosyncrasies about what they have food-wise. How do you deal with that now?
Yeah, it's really by diversifying who we receive food from as donated food, and mostly through purchased food. And, you know, our community really likes to see our local farms supported. So we've grown to sourcing our food from more than 24 local farms and agricultural producers. And often for those culturally responsive foods, we're buying those food items by the pallet rather than by the truckload. And so the quantities are a little less, which makes it a little more expensive. We're tending to pay 2 to 5 times more money per pound of food for our culturally responsive food initiative. You know, all organization wide, we bring in about 40 truckloads of food every week. About 15 of those truckloads are food that we are purchasing outright. So it's staples, you know, the beans, rice, things like that, cereal, as well as fresh produce and culturally responsive food. And we are working to, I mean, bring in, you know, because we have that massive purchasing power, we're able to bring food in at so much less expensively than you or I can buy it at the grocery store.
Wow. That's amazing. So can people, you know, you're going out there getting these massive amounts of food from those sources. Can people also donate food, and how would they go about doing that if they can?
Yeah, people can donate food, and many people have seen collection bins for Food Bank of the Rockies around town. So oftentimes they're surprised to learn that actually less than 1% of our food, total food supply, comes from individuals donating food, stopping by with cans of food or at a collection bin. And and that's a lovely way when someone sees a collection bin and wants to add some food. But honestly, it is so much more impactful for someone to donate funding. Because we have the massive purchasing power, it is does not make economic sense for me as a donor to go to the grocery store and buy peanut butter and donate it to Food Bank of the Rockies. It makes a lot more sense for me to donate a dollar and Food Bank of the Rockies to do that purchasing. Because of our massive purchasing power, as well as the power of donated food, for every dollar donated, we can actually provide enough food for three meals. That's three meals for $1 because of that purchasing power and donated food.
That's wonderful. And I had heard something about you have a really high percentage of actual donated money going directly to that. Do you have a number to attach to that? You know, what percentage of a dollar actually goes to the food itself?
Yeah, so it's often, this is a common number that's used in nonprofits. And it's, you know, how much of my dollar that I donate is going to go directly into your program. So that includes food, food distribution. For Food Bank of the Rockies, that's 96 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
And I'm going to give that with a caveat. So that is fantastic news. And we are proudly efficient. And I am a strong believer in that nonprofits actually should invest in overhead and in infrastructure. And we've done so. We've invested in marketing and technology, which is going to increase our impact in the long term. And Food Bank of the Rockies has that high of an efficiency ratio because we are proudly efficient, but also because we have such large quantity of donated food. And that adds to that formula for that high efficiency ratio.
96%. So those of us, those folks out there listening right now, know full well that if you give them, give the Food Bank of the Rockies a dollar, they get to spend 96 cents of that back into the community again. That is efficiency. That's beautiful. That's fantastic. So now, how do you distribute your food? Do people come to you? Do you deliver food to other people? How, and I know you said you're dealing with 800 organizations. Can you tell us just a little bit about what it looks like when you get something in, how that gets distributed?
Yeah, Food Bank of the Rockies has a distribution center in central Denver, right off of I-70 in Havana. And our drivers are out picking up food from our retail and manufacturer partners. And a lot of food is delivered to us, both food that we're ordering and food that's getting donated. But we also have a lot of food from retailers that's going directly to our hunger relief partners. So food that's coming in here to our distribution center or our distribution center in Grand Junction, or in Casper, Wyoming, is then we have a fleet of vehicles and a team of outstanding drivers that is delivering that food, or our partner agencies are picking it up and delivering it to their local food pantry and then distributing it directly to people in need. In addition to that, we run about 70 mobile pantries every month. That is a truck that is going to either a central Denver location or a more rural location in Colorado or Wyoming and distributing food to people in that area.
That just gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, knowing full well that it is so, that is a well-oiled machine right there.
Yeah, and luckily we have a really strong team of operations team members who know fleet management, who know inventory management, as well as, you know, tracking inventory turns and food sourcing. On one hand, we are a lovely human service organization. On the other, we are a large food distribution company, and it is a well-oiled machine between our inventory systems and our fleet management and our team of drivers, many of whom have been with us for more than 10 or 15, even 20 years.
Yeah, and they've got to be working fast because you've got probably a lot of perishable food out there too.
We do.
Get distributed quickly.
We track our inventory turns of how quickly can we, our job isn't to warehouse food, it's to distribute food. So how quickly can we get this food in the door and back out the door to in the hands of people who need it?
Wow. Do you have any, and I'm throwing a little curve here, but do you have any idea of how many people on a daily basis eat because of Food Bank of the Rockies?
Yeah, we know that we serve per year roughly almost 500,000 people. And in the area that we serve, which is about just over half of Colorado and all of Wyoming, that's about 1 in 9 people over the course of the year that we are serving. And and one thing that we've seen, especially in the last couple of years, is people often ask, well, who are these people? And the answer is they're our neighbors. One of our larger food distribution partners is in Parker. You wouldn't think that a lot of people living in Parker, Colorado, which is a suburban area, we'd say an upper middle class area, are experiencing food insecurity. But many people have been faced with, whether it's a healthcare challenge, a loss of a job, have really put them to the edge of what they can handle. We've especially seen that in the last year with food inflation. With people, I mean, we know how much more it costs to buy groceries for our family. And so people going to the store, like, I can't pay my rent and my other essential bills and put food on the table. So it's really hit people hard and they're coming to Food Bank of the Rockies at the same time that we are facing that food inflation. Now, I mentioned, we bring in, 40 truckloads of food every single week. A couple examples of how food inflation has hit us just in onions that we purchased. How many truckloads of onions do we purchase a year? 11 truckloads, I believe. And just for onions, our price has gone up $37,000 for an annual cost of just onions that we purchased in the last year. Cucumbers, another example, just for the cucumbers that we purchase over the course of a year has gone up $42,000 in the last year. So we're seeing that food item after food item. And the fact that we are now purchasing 30% of our food supply. So we're depending on the generosity of our community to make financial gifts more than we ever have before.
Wow. And I understand you were also part of Feeding America. How does that association work?
So Food Bank of the Rockies is one of the 200 food banks across the United States. It's part of Feeding America. So because we're part of Feeding America, we can tap into food sourcing that Feeding America is helping to source food nationally, as well as fundraising. Oftentimes a corporation will go to Feeding America and say, rather than make grants out across the country to various food banks, we'd like to just allocate that money to Feeding America, and then you all distribute it in our key markets. And so because we're a Feeding America food bank, it really helps us with both funding coming in and a lower cost of food that we are purchasing. And it also serves as a fantastic place for idea sharing and networking. So we believe in that, no need to recreate the wheel. So we are a constantly learning and evolving network and depending on one another for that.
That is amazing. That's amazing. Once again, to our listeners, if any of you want to even try to imagine going to bed hungry, it's a very difficult thing to do unless you've actually experienced it. We need you to dig deep and help out here. So if our listeners right now would like to dig into their wallets and just say, I want to make sure someone doesn't go to bed hungry. I want to make sure a child shows up in class with a full stomach so they can learn well. I want to know that the people who are suffering in any way, shape, or form and are worried about going to the grocery store. We want you to dig deep and help here. How can they do that? What's the next step for them?
Yeah, a couple of ways. If someone is interested in volunteering with Food Bank of the Rockies, they can go to our website, which is foodbankrockies.org, and sign up for a volunteer shift, working at a mobile pantry, coming into our food distribution center. And if someone would like to make a financial gift, that's really what we're depending on more than ever, especially as we've seen a tripling of our food costs. We're spending $1.5 million every month on food now, which is more than triple what we were spending a few years ago. And people can also make a gift on our website, which is foodbankrockies.org. And as I mentioned earlier, for every dollar that someone donates, we can distribute enough food for three meals with that $1.
Wow. Can they do it by just a regular dollars, or do you have any kind of programs that are in their wills, that sort of thing? Is there any, do you have any?
Absolutely. If someone's interested in making a planned gift as part of their estate planning, either leaving a portion of a 401k, a retirement plan, or otherwise making that plan in their will, we also have information on Food Bank of the Rockies website for that. Or if someone would like to make a gift of stock or donate a car to Food Bank of the Rockies for sale at auction, and those proceeds directly benefit. Those are all fantastic ways of making a gift.
So those boil down to dollars, which are powerful in your hand to be able to get more food than we possibly could get at a grocery store, to be able to feed even more people. That I'm almost at a loss for words to hear the massiveness of what you're doing right now. I don't know if that's the correct word to use or not, but the amount of food that you're able to put out there is mind-boggling. It's also mind-boggling to know how many people are in need, that there are so many people today. Wow, that is really...
So many people in need. And we see it, you know, when we're out at our mobile pantries and seeing people in line for help. You know, at the beginning of COVID, we all saw those pictures on the news of the cars lined up. It's really not that dissimilar to what we're seeing now with lines of cars. You know, and one big impact too is that people receiving SNAP or food stamps had those benefits cut by an average of $90 per month per person, per household member, starting this past March 1st. And so a lot more people have been coming in for help. And so people aren't sitting in line for 3 hours because it's a luxury item. People need that food to feed themselves and their family. And that's made possible by the generosity of people feeling gratitude like I do, that I'm not in that position. So I'm paying it and making those financial gifts. So people don't have to choose between feeding their kids and paying rent.
That's amazing. Well, Erin, I can't begin to tell you how much I admire you and the work you're doing, and all the people in your organization that are making a major, major difference. And the word I like to use here is unselfishly doing this, because the dedication that you have to make sure that people go to bed with a full stomach, go to bed knowing full well that there's food in the refrigerator, go to bed knowing that their children will have something to eat the next day. It's all because of organizations like your, like the food bank, and also, and I want to reiterate once again, if people go to the website, it is Food Bank Rockies. Do not put in the of the.
That's right. So it's foodbankrockies.org.
And there's a place there where you can make a difference in somebody else's life and probably in a lot of people's lives. So thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you would like to say to our audience before we leave? Let them know that this is something that they can do.
Just thank you for helping us spread the word. And thank you to listeners for what you have given to Food Bank of the Rockies in the past through volunteerism, donating food, donating funds, and what you might consider doing in the future. We're here and stepping up to the tremendous needs because of our generous community.
And thank you. And thank you. And congratulations on your wonderful little awards that you don't like to brag about.
Thanks so much, Tom.
It's so great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And we send you our love, our prayers, and now we'll send you some money. So thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. And for the rest of you, the listeners, please tune in again next week for another episode of the Harmony Goal podcast. Once again, this is a spotlight we want to shine on Food Bank of the Rockies for all this incredible, wonderful work that they're doing. And you too can help them by making a donation and helping somebody go to bed with a comfortable feeling in their life. And if you would like to go to our website, which is theharmonygoal.com, you can go there and let us know how we're doing. You could subscribe if you'd like. And if you'd like to make a donation to keep us on the air, that'd be a good thing too. So, but definitely your highest priority here is Food Bank of the Rockies. Remember, it's foodbankrockies.org. Look forward to chatting with you again next week, and I hope you have a wonderful week in between.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.